flex to drop a bomb on this shit. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 8th, 2025. Did I acknowledge the fact that we're midway through the year? We're halfway through, halfway done, or halfway begun, however way you want to look at it. Speaking of acknowledgement, today's episode is, I already covered that, I'm sorry. Today's episode is also rated R and motherfucking F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. This is also a sign to let you know that, you know, we cuss. We fucking cuss. On sacre, si on fait du sacrage sur ce podcast, ok? Du sacrage. Si du sacrage te dérange, ben, yeah. PG-friendly podcast. Might be better suited for you. Okay, let's start by doing what I like to do at the beginning is let me shout out all you listeners by asking you to applaud yourselves. Like so, no. Let's applaud each other. Part of getting you to applaud yourself is just to take a break for not all of you, but some of you need to take a break from beating up on yourselves and just take some time to applaud yourself just because. Yeah, I guess I am applying that to myself too, right? So, yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the gander, whatever the fuck. All right, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, yes. It's only downhill from here. But still, if you plan on sticking around, welcome. Yay! My hope is that I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I beat myself. Okay, I got to stop doing that. You know what I mean? No. It's going to be a great episode. It's going to be, thank you. Welcome. You're in for a treat. There. Look at me. Healing already. Okay, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. Like, if it wasn't, like, evident by now, but it's a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's your blurs up in this bitch? ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, for those of you who don't know, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Yeah, get the formalities out the way. Right, in today's episode, title 272. The working title for now is thinking about my comedy, or a thought about my comedy, or it might just be I ain't no joke, but I'm just going to share a recent thought / revelation that I had about my unique brand of comedy. But before we do that, we're gonna start with some quotes. And some randomness. We got some really good ones. So, let's do this. God damn. All right. Okay. Let's come on. First quote. Let's go with... Know thyself. And it's from Asada Shakur. And it goes, it is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must leave each other and support, excuse me, we must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. Feeling it. The, I got this, oh shit. You've currently been banned from this community. What? You're currently banned from this community and can't comment on this post. I wasn't planning on to. How the fuck did I get, what? Oh, sorry. Okay, focus. So I just noticed a little note about, fuck, what am I not banned? Okay, now I got to look into this. Okay, I'm going to address this ban later in randomness. But that's interesting. But the post where I'm your biggest clown. Calm down, B. This is kind of interesting. The post where I got this from is from the Black History Photos. And it's got a picture of Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, Angela Davis, and Assata Shakur. And I like, and it's got the quote that goes, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." I was initially going to share this as in my other links, but then I saw the quote and I said, "Fuck it, let me share it." But yeah, if you can't tell, man, my feelings are hurt. How the fuck did I? Yeah, I gotta call someone. Okay. I'm laughing because I'm about to contradict myself here. Okay, last quote. It goes, when someone begins healing after years in survival mode, they develop a deep need for honesty and authenticity. They fought hard to think clearly, to understand themselves, and to break free from the past. That journey was costly, and they won't waste their energy on people who don't respect it. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good one. I've been the only point I was gonna make about this is, no, it's deep. It's see, the interesting part about all these quotes or the stuff about quotes is like what happens. What I was gonna say is, I've been applying this quote without even realizing it, and it's been at work. I've been really mindful about my energy, when it gets wasted, and all kinds of shit. Just mindful about the energy vampires. Look, I'm not saying it's easy. It's been difficult. I've been mindful of it. Great at it is a different story. But yeah, no, it's true. I think it just ties into how much I enjoy my solitude. Cause I just can't be bothered. Okay, let me make sure I'm looking at the right notes. Okay, all right. Oops. All right, okay. All right, let's jump into some randomness, kids. Randomness first. Okay. Now, let me address the so the reason I'm laughing is because full disclosure, okay. I forget the day. This week. It was sometimes between the last published episode and sometime this week. And I'm trying to bring up the image that the headline that okay. So I got banned. The full story is, I wake up one morning. No, that's right. I woke up in the afternoon and I get several notifications from Reddit. And it turns out I got banned from four subreddits. I have no idea what was that about. But the first one, now it looks like it's a fifth one. But the first one on the list was where I actually posted. Like, I'm going to look into this, but I'm wondering if it has something to do with being banned from the first room. That doesn't make any sense. But here's the thing. This is a long-ass setup, right? The post was about, it was a headline about Israel backers are now advocating for the assassination of Greta Thunberg. And I've been trying to, like, for the sake of my own sanity, minimize news from that part of the world. It's not that I don't care. It's just that I'm useless to anyone if I let this shit just drive me crazy. Again, I'm still healing. I'm still trying to deal. I'm still trying to work on the deal with the fact that I'm an empath. I'm a highly sensitive person. I like this shit. Like this will just drive me nuts. Will just send me into a loop of depression very easily. So I got to just be careful about that kind of shit. Anyway, so I guess I need to be better at being careful. The night before, I remember seeing a similar headline and essentially about People in Israel are pissed off that Greta Thunberg is coming to the Gaza Strip. I think she want to help, you know, feed people. I mean, it's fucked up what's going there. So, of course, someone wants to do something about it. And it bothered me. I went to bed angry, woke up, saw this new article, and I remember, like, having an urge to say something. This is what's interesting. It's always the post you don't think about that gets you in trouble, that people react to. So I remember just feeling something, like I said, you know, emotional, whatever, right? And the only thing I can think about is how the fuck, the uselessness of religion. How the fuck? It's shit like that that's making me want to be an atheist. Because if God can't talk you out of committing genocide, or God can't talk you out of, okay, no killing kids. Maybe tell yourself, okay, she doesn't understand, but we're not going to kill kids. These motherfuckers are advocating for her assassination. Anyway, so I remember writing in the comment section, in the reply, without even any thinking, this, again, just raw emotion. I just said, yo, if your religion can't stop you from committing genocide or from killing kids, something shit like that. If your religion ain't dead, and I just put three dots, that's it. Not thinking it was hard. Look, I want you to understand. I want you to understand that it's never my intention to hurt feelings. Granted, yes, I do know the religious types will take offense to that. Anyway, so next thing you know, later that afternoon, notification, I'm banned because of that comment. And then I didn't let it slide, but then I'm like, yo, Palestinian subreddit, which, by the way, I unfollowed for a different, because it's Kamala-related reasons, but I unfollowed just because, for that exact same reason, I knew there was nothing, I couldn't contribute anything positive to that. So I had removed myself from that subreddit. But anyway, so the Palestinian group, the pan-Arab group, and I forget which one, some global news, whatever, and now this shit. And I remember, again, sensitive soul that I am, I'm like, fuck, well, man. Like, I went from, my first thought was, shit, I want to clear myself out. Like, look, I'll accept the ban, right? I admit this was some lazy writing on my part. I'll accept the ban. But next thing, because the last thing I wanted was someone to feel what I'm feeling about Israeli backers wanting to assassinate this young woman. To, like, you know, and make their day worse. Like, I'm on the side of the people who are like, that's fucked up. As opposed to the people, yeah, get that little girl. So the possibility that I made shit worse for them is what bothered me the most. And I wanted to send a reply, say, hey, look, like, sincere apology. It was not my intention I admit this was lazy writing, not my intention to make this headline even worse or contribute to negativity in your post, all that kind of shit. And then I reached a point where I was like, fuck it. In a sense that I do feel for people being like that, but there's two things. One, it could have been AI that's like their AI or a system on Reddit that, like, oh shit, this is a bad statement. Block. By the way, that was very common for me. That happened a lot to me when I was on Facebook. Exactly. The goddamn AI censoring me and shit and whatever, man. Fuck, yo, it's gonna suck if they start using AI to trim the population. Yeah, let's get rid of people who said problematic shit. Anyway, yeah, because I'm in trouble. I have whatever. Anyway, so my first thought was fuck it, and not because of I did something, you know, like I agreed with, okay, because I said something harmful. That's no excuse. That I said something that someone else interpreted as harmful. But more of the fact, the realization that I can't control people's response. Right? I mean, sure, if I call a woman a bitch, I can anticipate that's going to, you know, she's going to take offense to it. But what I'm trying to say is, I think I was more caught in the idea that someone thinks I'm a bad person than actually trying to heal. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like it's the same thing. I fault white people who like spend more time in getting you to believe they're not racist as opposed to not be racist. That's what I'm trying to say. So I was trying to say that I think I'm that realization right there that I can't control it. That look, man, just accept the fact that you fucked up and ain't shit you. Maybe it's for the better that, you know, you stay off these subs because you're sensitive and you might say something that might be taken the wrong way. And there is no judge. There's no one you can talk. Just don't waste your time trying to control other people's perception. And I remember telling myself, maybe I'm healing. But what's funny is but from the black people. Wait, what was the subreddit again? That hurt my feelings. Oh, my God. You know what's fucked up? On the same Reddit, I'm banned from similar incident from the black women subreddit. And the thing is, if I knew then what I knew now, I would have known that. Yo, you got to be very careful about, like, you got to put some thoughts in what you're saying. Like, treat it like a newspaper. Like you're writing an article and you have an editor and proofread that shit. Because in the black women subreddit, I know for a fact, these poor women are constantly under attack. Like, they're constantly getting a lot of, so it's very easy. I'm sure, like, they're very, like, they defend themselves. This is them. Yo, fucking Reddit is a toxic environment. So they just, I guess, yeah, you just gotta be careful not to get lumped in that category. But it is what it is, man. It is what it is. So it's like I'm trying to tell you that I'm healing, but I'm not healed. that's all it is. So yeah, man, pray for me, I guess. All right, let's go to the next one. I was in Walmart today, and I saw a woman who had a fat ass. That's what I said, a fat ass. Sorry, you're supposed to say, how fat was it? Let's do this again. I saw a girl at Walmart. She had a fat ass. How fat was it? It was so fat that I noticed that she was like dressed up. She was looking good. This was a Sunday morning, by the way. She was looking like she was going out, and it hit me. She must be going to church. And my first thought was, can you tell me more about Jesus? My first thought was to renounce my church ratchetness segment just for that fat ass. I'm willing to go to hell for that fat ass. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. So yesterday I went to go see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. And what's that called to watch? Funny story. The first time I clicked on to Mission Impossible, I'm like, I'm watching the movie. Ethan. Yeah, Ethan, the main character, Tom Cruise's character. He's like, he's being told the mission. And my first thought was, that shit's impossible. And I'm like, oh, that's what the movie's about. It's not Mission Impossible. It's Mission Impossible. Anyways. And two things. One is I appreciated how Tom Cruise started the movie with thanking us from seeing the movie. And there's something about the way he said it reminded me of an interview with Ryan Coogler where talking about Sinners and how it's like it's a celebration of the cinema. And it just had me thinking about the relationship between me, the audience, and this big ass movie screen. You know, I've had movies ruined by people who are like, oh, well, that wouldn't happen. It's, you know, whatever. I guess it's just some people's thoughts on movies. You just don't need to hear it. It's like they're intelligent. They're too smart for their own good. And like the right think piece about how, look, I'm just trying to say is there's like a, in order for you to enjoy this movie, you got to meet this director halfway. I, look, all I'm saying is there was a lot of fucked up, crazy shit in that movie. And but if my brain was like, that shit can't happen, he would have died. Because there's a lot of like, it's like Hail Mary, whatever. There's a lot of like, yeah, 1% would happen. there's a 0.1% chance that event will happen. And it happens. But that's what the fucking movie's about. If this was real life, the shit would be boring. Cut the credits. By the way, yeah. So it did have us thinking. So I appreciate how you started the movie with thanking us, the moviegoers. And second, there's a part that got me that I like, and this is not a spoiler, unless you're the kind of person who like doesn't want to hear a single detail about the movie, but or the casting or whatever. So I'll give you a quick second to leave if you're that kind of person. But it's not really a spoiler, but it's two things. First thing is Madam President, how Angela Bassett was the American president. And it was something hopeful. I nearly said inspiring. No, hopeful about having her in that role, in such a serious role. And she had like to make a tough decision. And she's surrounded by people who are like, yes, we need your leadership. And she was leading them. I appreciate them putting that image. You know what? How I took it? I took it as a don't give up, gang. Yes, we lost. And that's how I took it. I'm not saying that was the intent of the director, even though, you know, this could be another Third Eye segment, but whatever, man. But what I like about that moment, it felt like don't give up, gang. You know what I mean? Yeah. This country did let you down by electing this piece of fucking shit, idiot. Failure of a human being, but you know, a lot of failures of a human being live in this country and vote or don't vote, whatever. So I did like that moment of how they were referring to this black woman as Madam President. There was something powerful and hopeful about that. Two, don't watch this movie if DEI bothers you. They have it was just like the cast is like very diverse. There's a scene where they're in a submarine and I counted more than one black person in that submarine. Not to say that there are black people in submarines, but I'm like, come on, man. Thank you for not endorsing the joke about black people can't swim, even though that's, you know, that'd be lame as fuck. But look, I was just laughing at the idea of me in a submarine. Fuck that. Black people in a submarine. It can happen. I'm just saying, I got the kind of sense of humor to laugh at that shit. But yeah. yeah. Women in position of power, people who aren't white in position. Look, white people, you still got Tom Cruise. Man, they're going to be pissed if they remake Mission Impossible and make Ethan Hawke a woman or a black person or fucking Asian. Whatever the fuck. You know, actually, that'd be more believable. Asian, he's, as long as he knows martial arts. Sorry, I had an image of the voice in my head. We're losing everything. Yeah, okay. All right, so next item. So speaking of movies, that's what I was doing before recording, right? Someone on YouTube created a video and they labeled it Kendrick versus Drake the movie. And I remember seeing this shit and thinking it was actually a movie. And I watched it. And you know what it was? It was let me read the description for you. Description goes, a chronological timeline in a movie format of every public event between Kendrick and Drake from 2009 till 2025. Sit back and enjoy this emotional rollercoaster ride. See, the part that they're missing in this is that there's the public event and there's also how people reacted. Okay, no, first you have a clip from FD Signifier, the influencer. He's the influencer, right? Yeah, YouTuber, whatever. And smart nigga, right? They have a clip from him because he did a whole thing about the Kendrick and versus Drake beef. And so they use a clip from that, and then everything after, so they'll present the event, and then they'll have YouTubers slash whatever the fuck reacting. They showed the clips of them. They would take clips from all over the place of, like, okay, it would be like them taking a when Kendrick dropped Euphoria, and then they'll show how the content creators reacted to Euphoria. I'm trying to I'm giving you a long setup to say this shit was amazing. It's 2 hours, 37 seconds and 4 seconds long, but I fucking enjoyed it. It's like they were able to capture what we all felt in that moment. And then they broke it down into timestamp because they know it's a 2 hour movie. You're going to want to come back to it, right? And from the intro, who is Drake? Drake, Kendrick's first performance when he mentions Drake, and to Euphoria, his Super Bowl. Yo, I loved it, man. It was an emotional roller coaster. And yo, high five to the people created. Okay. And then there's a list of all the they are YouTubers. All the YouTubers used in this video. Now, what I don't know is who to give life views and vibes. Giggles, that quirky guy always delving. I gotta send this dude some props. Hold on, let me see what it says. That quirky guy always delving into unwanted deep dives. Wow. Well, whoever you are, I fucking loved it, man. It was a great cut up. I don't know how long it took you. Oh, fuck, I'd love to interview this person. It was great. I really enjoyed watching it, and I recommend it to everyone. Now, the part that got me, that had me thinking, is there was a portion of the video where I was watching it, from the perspective of Drake, seeing the situation from Drake's perspective. he asked for that ass whooping. But no, the part of when Drake reacted to that control verse by Kendrick, you can tell his feelings were hurt. And the thing here is, as a sensitive person, I know I could picture myself having my feelings hurt. Only difference is I wouldn't have shown the world. I would have kept that for the homie, but that's not the point. But the other thing, this movie got me to, I'm going to call it a movie, but this movie, it might be a documentary, but it's something different. But what this documentary slash movie, whatever the fuck, had me thinking is how, Drake is the one who introduced, no, that's not how I want to say this. Drake brought on A$AP Rocky and Kendrick Lamar on tour with him. Like, they were his opening act. And the impression that I got after watching this movie, because I was well aware of this, right? But there was something that was different. It felt like the reason why Drake's feelings were hurt is because when he initially recruited Kendrick and A$AP Rocky, especially Kendrick, I think he recruited him the same way Frank from the movie Scarface recruited Scarface, Tony Montana, in that he always expected him to be his lieutenant. He always expected him to be under him. He always expected him to be like, yo, like Young Buck was to 50 Cent, or like 50 Cent was to Eminem. Like, this whole, you're going to spend the rest of your life being grateful. You're going to be my... I was gonna say my Memphis Bleak. Nah, that's kind of lore. But I think the reason Drake's feelings were hurt by that verse is because he had an image, he had a future design, and that control verse. That control verse. That control verse was Tony Montana coming back to Frank to explain, hey, I just made a deal with Sosa. What the fuck? He didn't. And again, I'm not in the scenario, but now this is just me making sense of I went from making sense of Drake's response to this whole thing. Because on one end, I'm like, yo, this dude is just living his truth. Why is he a bad guy? His feelings were hurt. But I think it was the combination of not just that his feelings were hurt, that he was in denial of the fact that his feelings were hurt, and he was also in denial of the cause, of the fact that I didn't expect you to grow. No, that verse, he... Let me repeat the verse that he says, right? And by the way, Drake, because Drake was in an interview, but fuck, you get like passive aggressive like a motherfucker. After he did the control verse, he said something like, "Yo, it was just, you know, it was just trying to get people to like, you know, to get talking on the internet. It's not a real trap." Oh, man. You know, Drake's response to Kendrick's control verse reminded me of this headhunter who, when I decided to switch to a different, a headhunter who got me this gig, right? And how the fuck did I end up there? Damn, I'm trying to, okay, this, my memory's a little flow. You actually write this shit down. Okay, the headhunter got me this gig. And then when it came time for me to find, I am really trying to remember how I got that job. What the fuck? Anyways, all I know is it came time for me to pick a contracting company. Long story short, I didn't go with his company because the other company was paying much. And the dude who actually recruited me, he was pissed off at me talking about, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have found the job. I'm like, I thought this was a business relationship. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, bottom line, like, you know, okay, you know, I'm not no big corporate, like, dumping oil in the ocean here, in the rivers. But it's like, hey, they're willing to give me more money. No questions asked. What I'm getting at is the whole, like, this asshole was all like, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you are. I felt like Drake had that behavior with Kendrick. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you are. And here you are rapping about how, I love the verse. He goes, I'm usually, where's the line? I'm usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with, but this is hip hop and them niggas should know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Mick Mills, ASAP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electronic, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you niggas. Trying to make sure your core friends never heard of you niggas. They don't want to hear not one more noun verb from you niggas. Look, I remember when he came out, all his fans were like, what the fuck? We took that like 9/11, hip-hop 9/11. This dude just crashed a plane into the building and came out with middle fingers. I was like, we're friends, but I'm trying to murder you niggas. But it's accurate. It was a beautiful way of saying, yo, step your game up. You sleep, I'm gonna catch up. Anyways, everyone else got it. Drake was like, oh, that was mean. Those were some harsh words. Again, I'm not making fun of him for being sensitive. Because I can relate to being. Like, I could understand how, like, you're trying to murder me? I thought we were friends. But my theory is the reason why that verse bothered him is because for some reason he's like, yo, you were supposed to be in a cage. And right now, you're outside. That verse tells me you have no intention of staying in that cage. Like, the verse you should have came out with was like, Drake is my best friend. Without me, without him, he'd be, whatever. Anyway. Look, I'm doing a lot of talking. All this to say that I really enjoyed the movie, the segment. And and if you're a hip-hop fan, if you're a fan of the Drake versus Kendrick beef, I recommend you watch it. Last clip is, I feel this is beautiful, man. This clip speaks for itself. I got it off, if you notice, I usually have like a TikTok clip, and a lot of the a lot of what's been shared in randomness is just my own shit as opposed to other people's thoughts. But this is the only TikTok clip for today's randomness. And, you know, it speaks for itself.
Can I ask you who you voted for?
That's a tough question.
Oh, oof.
Look at all of these lovely people.
Yeah, I'll stop there. So I imagine this woman is on some, what do you call that? Oh, yeah, date night podcast. And the woman asked her a simple question. Who did you vote for? This motherfucker's like, that's a tough question, dude. Needless to say, they kick him out. But it's just more like, yeah, no, it reminds me of the early days of when Trump got elected and people were like cutting off family members and friends over politics, and the motherfuckers getting cut off are like, it's just politics. Nah, it's your character. It's who you are as a human being. You can tell yourself whatever the fuck you want, but you just drew a line in the sand. You just aren't willing to admit it. Yeah, that's it. All right, okay. That's it for quotes and randomness. Let's jump into some, let's jump to final thoughts, which is still being formulated in my mind. Oh, I mean, let's take a quick commercial break. All right, and we are back from a long-ass break. No, that's not true. I mean, not for you, for me. Well, I mean, it wasn't even long. It was quick. All right. Now, you know what's funny is when I initially wrote this down, I'm like, this is going to be a short featured thought. And I remember I did that on the last episode. Actually, I've done that on several episodes. Like, you know, I only have one item to talk about. I'm not sure what I'm going to say in that one, so I think it's going to be short. I'm learning not to underestimate myself. Because I can talk. All right, okay. So for this one here is... let me clear this up. Okay, so I don't know what inspired that thought. But I think I was either listening to... Three Guys On... They had, we watched an episode. They had Three Guys On. They had Brandon Collin on there. Brandon Collin is the comedian / pod. He's also the host of the Medium Popcorn podcast. And the reason I'm highlighting him is because he mentions how he's another comedian who apparently grew up in white spaces and still managed to grow out and be a black comedian. I think it must be just over, just thinking about him. And I'm like, yo, maybe I should do a podcast. Maybe I should have a segment dedicated to interviewing people like him. Like, there's a lot of black comedians in Canada who grew up in white space and are like, you know, who do like, you know what? It's like, okay, how do you define a black comedian? That's just black American comedians. That's easy to distinguish, but by Canadian standards. What, anyway, so I'm giving you this long ass setup, long ass intro, just to say that I found myself asking the question. Fuck, it drives me nuts that I can't remember what inspired it, but it goes, how do I make my unique experience as a black man in Ottawa funny to a predominantly white audience? I wish I could remember what inspired that question, because I feel like this question settles it all. Is the answer to why I stopped doing comedy, why, you know, it started with, you know, I thought it was a George Floyd incident, then I couldn't be funny anymore, but it was more, there's two questions that come from it. It's like, how do I make my unique experience as a black man in Ottawa funny to predominantly white audience, because that's what you have in Ottawa. But the better question is, do I want to be funny to these goddamn crackers? Do I want them laughing at my experience? See, what happened when I took a break from I've been calling it a break, you know, I still believe it's a break from comedy. What sparked it It was around the George Floyd era, but it was having this white woman who I had no respect, basically had no respect for. She was like beyond Karen, like racist, just all of the above. And of course she doesn't know it, you know, because she was like a colleague, and I'm like, hey, tap dance in front of these tap dance in front of my coworkers. You know, that's a joke unto itself. And having her come up to me and say, yeah, I look forward to seeing your comedy show. I'm like, fuck. And the idea of people like her in the audience laughing at what some of this shit is intended to be funny, but yes, but some of this is based on pain, you know? It's just like, it drove me nuts. It was, I wanted to strangle someone. But yeah, no, now I'm, this is like just fresh off the dome. Didn't parse this through, but I do know that it's an important question. One thing I don't do well, actually, it was meant to be a joke. Never got around to like performing it, but meant to be a joke is my inability to keep it real with white folks. Now, there's layers to this shit. You know, I could tell you, you know, like every human being I have difficulty keeping it real with. But with white people, there's a unique thing about that habit of not keeping it real with them. Like, okay, this one time I was, I don't think it's going to be a joke, but I'm going to share it on this podcast. I remember I was we went to a... this shit is funny unto its own. We went into a Irish pub. It was a pub, excuse me. We went to a pub and excuse me. And I went there with my cousin. I probably shared this. If you've heard all my episodes, then you may have heard this story already. But we went to a pub and I was hungry and I'm going down the menu and I see jerk chicken. Shit. And I remember walking in, there was a black dude in the kitchen. So I figured jerk chicken, whatever, right? And again, I'm inexperienced. How do I know you're not supposed to buy that kind of food in a pub? Whatever. Like, don't blame the victim. And oh, sorry, I still haven't described what happened. So I ordered jerk chicken and came to my plate. And yo, fellas, folks, it was the worst. And I mean the worst. Like, I even couldn't do that bad. The worst jerk chicken I've had in my life. And I was angry. Now I remember I was full of rage. I was angry. I'm like, how do you fuck up jerk chicken? Holy, like, I was like, if that blue black dude did it and he's Jamaican, I'm treating this like an act of war. That dude's got beef. Tu me cherches si, hein? Tu me cherches tabarnak? Okay, let's go outside. I wanted to run in the kitchen and fuck him up. Look, I want you to understand, right? For those of you who aren't familiar with Caribbean restaurants, I'm willing to tolerate bad customer service for good jerk chicken. I'm willing to talk the troops, you know what I mean? Fuck, you can't speak English. I'm willing to tolerate bad customer service for jerk chicken, but what I won't tolerate is bad jerk chicken. So I'm like ready for war. I'm like, my cousin, I'm like, yo, dude, I'm about to fuck. I'm not the fighting type, but I'm about to fuck somebody up. And he's like, yeah, whatever, damn for whatever, like that. And here's a funny part. I'm mad, pissed off. And this white dude comes out the kitchen talking about, how was the jerk chicken? You think I gave him an honest opinion? I was like, it was all right. I know that some of you listening to this shit, disgusted. That's not funny. I'm disgusted. You know, I understand if you're one of those new listeners who choose not to listen to this podcast anymore. But I'm saying, I was like survival mode kicked in. There's something about with white people, survival mode kicks in. And I was like, yeah, it was all right. Why the fuck did you ask, homeboy? Really? Like, I'm gonna give you an honest answer. And he left. And I remember thinking, shit, I bet I would have been a great slave. Now, how that black dude came out with a thick Jamaican accent, Well, okay, I guess I'm expecting him to be honest with me and be like, yo, I purposely fucked up that jerk chicken because I didn't like, because I don't like you. I don't like your face. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. Hate the way that you. Anyway, yeah. I wouldn't have fought, but he would have gotten, it would have been a nasty Yelp, anonymous Yelp review. So yeah, man, fuck that. Don't ever go to the Irish pub or whatever. I shared this story with other people and they were like, you know, blaming the victim. Say, the fuck were you thinking ordering jerk chicken from a fucking pub? I'm like, it was on the menu. Anyways, I say all this, but it reminded me of my inability to keep it real with white folks. It's like there's a part of me that's like programmed to tell them whatever the fuck they want to hear. What's that? Earth is flat? Yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, sure. I guess so. The white man said so. Like, I used to, I like sharing new ideas, like giving people stuff to think, but there's okay. Now, I've been saying white people, but to be honest with you, okay, white is a factor, but it's actually, there's a certain personality type. Okay, this is just me being real. I've been saying white all the time, but really it's, there's a certain personality type. It's like, I think it's like, I don't know if it's a narcissist thing or it's like I have a fragile ego. I can't handle, if I tell you Jesus walked on water, you need to, you know, in order for me to give you peace, you need to accept what I'm telling you. Yeah, there's a certain personality that triggers my fight or flight survival mode. And I'm just telling them whatever the fuck they want to hear. Now, they'll probably come back and say, well, just be honest. Well, I don't know. Can you handle the truth? A lot of these, you know, these fragile types can't handle the truth. Slave owners did not want to accept the fact that, you know, did you know that when I'm going to give you a name to, some of you will need to Google this, but when Nat Turner, Slave Rebellion, when he did the rebellion, there was a whole bunch of white people who were surprised. Like, that was the, after the rebellion, Nat Turner's rebellion, that's when they were like, oh, black people don't like slavery? Like, that was their wake-up call. And that's what I'm getting at. I feel like white people have developed this habit of, I just want to hear what I want to hear from you people. I'll let a white person tell me, introduce me to new ideas, but a black person, sometimes I think it's because some of them never grew up with a black teacher. So, you know, it's like, but then again, I think of Malcolm X. He was introducing new ideas. Well, no, but you know, they did have him killed. So that is a reflection of what I'm trying to say. But I'm not in the habit of introducing new ideas to a white person unless I have full proof, all kinds of evidence and proof that, oh, you can accept it, that you ain't going to lose it over that shit. Anyway, whatever. So getting back, I've always been the new idea, the introduce new idea or possibly new ideas to your mind. But it's scary around white people. You scared of white folks? No, I'm just saying. Now, okay, I'm saying all this while also accepting the fact that when I was listening to this, the reason I'm thinking of titling this episode, I Ain't No Joke, is because in my journey as a comedian, I had to learn how to laugh at myself. Cause I wasn't, you know, and then you combine that with the sensitiveness and whatever. But I had to, had to learn how to laugh at myself. And I remember that one of the first things that I did is I took an improv class, so that I could get into the habit of like, don't take shit so seriously. My dad told me that the reason he doesn't like me being in comedy because he doesn't like the idea of people laughing at me, and I get it. We shared the same genes. I get it. So I'm telling you all this, and that just might be me actually reverting back to that version of myself that doesn't want to be laughed at. Yeah, I might be making an excuse. That might be just an excuse. But I am going to come back to the idea of, but there is a certain sense of reality. What I'm saying is, Hold on. I got two ideas coming out, right? As I'm thinking of, there's a clip going around of AOC. Of AOC. I just made a note. That pause you just heard was me making a note. There's a clip going around of AOC and commenting on the beef, the recent beef, the divorce between Elon Musk and Trump. One of my friends has a theory that this shit is just a distraction for something else, but I'm not mad at that theory. But with that said, there's a clip going around. Apparently, so AOC says the girls are fighting. And apparently a whole bunch of white people wrote a shitload of think piece about like, oh, that's being misogynistic. See, because what's funny about AOC saying that is because I was referring to the squabble between those two. I was calling it a cat fight. But I was intentionally being dismissive. I was intentionally, I don't use cat fight anymore when two women are fighting with each other. But this was my way of calling these two bitches. So I was purple, but I didn't write a think piece about it. I didn't put this online. But when AOC said it, when she said it, she made it in reference like is the word vernacular? Meaning there's black women and in the gay community, that term is used among themselves. And it's a natural, it's not their way of saying two women are fighting because women like to cat with each like to fight with each other and stuff like that. It the intention is not being dismissive. My point is when bringing this up is where this white people not wanting to hear other, like, it's like white people love to correct us. And this and I'm sure the white people criticizing her aren't like the MAGA folks, because you know they don't know how to write. It's the fucking people on the left. And I'm sure a lot of them just feel like they feel like geniuses, or I'm going to comment on the fact that she said that. As opposed to, what did she mean by that? It's like, AOC's not the sexist type. You know, it's what I'm saying is, I grew up around white people, and I'm used to having them saying, hey, not taking the time to make sense of what I'm saying, or understand that, okay, this person is describing something from their, this person is trying to describe a color that I've never seen before. It's a handicap. I've noticed that there's a certain handicap with white people. It's like, I don't like being introduced to new ideas. It's either I don't like being introduced to new ideas, new experiences, or I don't like being introduced to new ideas, new experience coming from someone who's not white. It's a challenge. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a challenge. It is a challenge unto its own. The last point I was trying to make, not bad for someone who didn't think he had a lot to say, by the way. Okay, last point I'm going to say is, it brings me back to something I just realized I was thinking about at the beginning, is who gets to define what's black? Because, and I've on the previous edition of Shut Up Podcast, I had an episode called what is it called, it goes measuring our blackness with the, I forget what it was, but the joke is how in Canada we use the metric system to measure our blackness, and it was just my way of saying that, okay, black Americans have their version of what's black. Black Canadians, there's a lot of like similarities, but there's some like finer points where we diverge, we go our separate ways. Like the Black Canadian experience has its own uniqueness compared to the Black American experience. Now, I had to spend 2 years in the States to finally realize that. I mean, like, oh. So no, that's what it is. That's what it is. So I guess this, okay, getting part to the uniqueness part of my comedy is, it's an opportunity for me to speak shit that I want to talk about. Well, problem is not having the proper audience to do. It's a complicated role, man. I know this one comedian who I'm not gonna say his name, but he posted his video on TikTok. And someone responded and said, oh man, he's like a Dave Chappelle. And I felt like responding and saying, like, okay, this black comedian just happened to be bald, whatever. And the more I look at it, I'm like, okay, I could see why you would make that comparison. But I'm also thinking that you probably know two black people in your life. And one of them is Dave Chappelle. And of course, you would look at this black, because this comedian, he's like a unique, he's got his own style. But I could see to someone with a narrow view of black people would like, oh, you're just an imitation of. It's like watching the world in black and white. I could see why you would be like, okay, oh, yeah, that looks the same. Those two are the same color. But anyway, I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I think what I appreciate about this question is, one is I feel like I'm getting closer to get out of this comedy hiatus. And two, I'm realizing, I used to think the challenges were dealing with punk ass club owners, but no, it's also dealing with I've never had a show where, no, that's not true. I was going to say, people didn't get my joke. That's not true. I remember there was an audience and it was a running joke. I'm like, fuck, I have to explain who Beyonce is to these people. Or there's certain jokes where the setup I have to put a lot of time in the setup with a white audience, but with a black audience, it's like, they'll get it, you know, and things like that. But yeah, that's it, man. I think the long story of this thought is just the uniqueness of being a black Canadian comedian trying to keep it real. You know, and no disrespect, because I know some black comedians who do better in white rooms than they do in black rooms, but they're still black. They'll still like, I think when I say black, I mean like conscious, like I'm not telling you, you know, I don't buy comic books, but like they're black, like they are aware of their blackness. They are aware of their, okay, I'm going to have to reflect that, but what I mean by being a black comedian. Anyways, we're in our own lane, gang, and we're still figuring it out. Yeah. So on that note, you know, I'm actually glad I had this thought, because now I got to write this shit down. I'm going to expand on it. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with today's title is I Ain't No Joke. I used to let the mic smoke. Sure, it's broke. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much. I did say this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Reckon Limerick as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. La Pavo.